Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The House expected to take up a temporary spending bill to fund the government past the Friday deadline. President-elect Trump's advisor Elon Musk posting on social media platform X that he opposes the funding bill. ABC's Jay O'Brien says the House Speaker is pushing ahead.
Mike Johnson has always had a further right contingent of his conference that has opposed any kind of temporary government funding measure, which needs to be passed by the end of this week in order to avert a government shutdown. And then Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy also coming out against this. The reality is Mike Johnson has the votes amongst Democrats most likely to get this government funding plan over the goal line.
The Federal Reserve making another quarter point interest rate cut. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the labor market has cooled to help further tame inflation. Residents and fire crews in California under red flag wildfire warnings. The Santa Ana winds are back and a winter storm with ice and snow on the move in the Northeast. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has extended the public notice period for their broad incidental take notice on cave bats. According to a press release, the agency will now accept public comments on the notice through January 15th. The incidental take notice is related to the growing number of wind turbines throughout the state, which could put the rare bats at risk. DNR officials say the authorization includes conservation measures that have been shown to minimize the impact of wind turbines on cave bats. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a religious rights case that previously saw a divided ruling from the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. The case seeks to determine whether the Catholic Charities Bureau, based in Superior, should be granted an exemption to paying state employment tax. The organization argues that their work falls under the religious exemption to the tax, but the state Supreme Court ruled that the charity's work is not primarily religious, even if its motivation stems from Catholic teachings. The case could be decided by June. A former Sawyer County official has been charged with felony theft in a business setting after being accused of charging the county for extra time worked. According to court documents, former Animal Control and Zoning Ordinance Enforcement Officer Brandon Blachars had been charging the county for travel time, even though he was not using a county-owned vehicle to go to his office at the county dog pound in Hayward. The complaint alleges Blachars was overpaid by nearly $4,000 between August 2022 and January 2024 when he resigned. A Dallas man has been charged with making terrorist threats directed at the Rice Lake Veterans Administration Center. According to court documents, 39-year-old Jonathan B. West was officially charged with a felony count and misdemeanors on Monday in Barron County Circuit Court. He's accused of calling the Veterans Administration Center in Rice Lake on Friday and threatening to shoot staff members. Officials from the Rice Lake VA clinic also accused him of making similar threatening calls to the Minneapolis VA office and the Shakopee VA office. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks win the NBA Cup. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks, with a strong second half, beat the Oklahoma City Thunder by 16 points. The final 97-81. Bucks owner Wes Edens was there in Las Vegas with the team to accept the NBA Cup trophy.
It is so sweet and so great to be here. You know, last year it all happened kind of fast. We were very happy to be here. This year when they came in, they were here to do the business, finish the job, and they did it tonight.
Giannis, blocking shots, passing the ball, finished with 26 points and named the tournament's MVP.
We came out in the third quarter, we set the tone, we played great team basketball, we were moving the ball, guys were making shots, but most importantly, we were competing defensively. That's who we are. We are going to improve, and we're going to stay like team because job is not done.
College football, Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator fired by the Badgers last month, has a new job, head coach at Sam Houston University in Huntsville, Texas. Receivers Will Pauling and C.J. Williams leaving Wisconsin, entering the transfer portal. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy, a bit breezy, and a few flurries flying around. Temperatures are slowly sliding from the teens to the single digits tonight. And as snow moves in early tomorrow morning, it'll be heavy at times, reducing visibility and creating slick and slippery roads. With accumulations around 3 to 6 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at the day's headlines, and we're getting down there. Your final chance to win Growing Up Gift List, Text to Win Contest, and fabulous prizes. We'll tell you how to do it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy, pretty little thing.
What's up, everybody? How are you this hump day Wednesday? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you've got your Civic Media app downloaded and ready, because at the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to hit you with the keyword of the hour for Civic Media's grown-up gift list text to win sweepstakes contest. When you get that keyword, you're going to want to text that in via the app and only the app to qualify to win either $100 or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. We'll give away that prize during the 4 o'clock hour. And your text will also register you to win one of our grand prizes in our grown-up gift list text to win contest. Those grand prizes include robot vacuum, an espresso machine, luggage. We got all kinds of good stuff. If you want to learn more about your chances to win and the prizes, go to civicmedia.us/grownup gift list. And good luck to each and every one of you, especially in this holiday season. Well, where we left off, everybody, was the return of none other than Herschel Walker. Of course, we all know Herschel Walker as the NFL star that he was, as well as college star. But he also, if you will recall, had that ill-fated attempt to become a senator from the great state of Georgia. He lost, and lost what I would call, after an absolutely humbling campaign, where all sorts of issues came up about Mr. Walker's ability to tell the truth, operate from a policy and belief standpoint in a way that is consistent with his own personal life. And despite all of those failings, and I'll detail them in a moment, I was absolutely blown away to hear that Donald Trump will be appointing Mr. Walker to be the U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas. And perhaps we should, before we get into Mr. Walker's qualifications or abject lack thereof, remind ourselves that the Senate last year sent back President Joe Biden's nomination of former Georgia State Representative Calvin Smyer to be the ambassador to the Bahamas. And so this ambassadorship has been vacant, according to the U.S. State Department. Now, I don't know anything about Georgia State Representative Calvin Smyer, but I wonder if he can claim as many of the following qualifications, with air quotes around it, that Mr. Walker can. Shall we recall what occurred during Mr. Walker's Senate campaign? What came to light during his Senate campaign? There was this, an allegation by his ex-wife that he held a gun to her head and threatened to kill her. Yeah, that sounds like ambassador material. Also, that he pitched himself as a very staunch anti-abortion candidate. Except that two ex-girlfriends came forward and said Mr. Walker had pressured them to have abortions. He denied those claims. He also criticized absentee Black fathers a lot. I mean, a lot. Oh, and then he had to clarify in public exactly how many children he had, because reports surfaced that he had had three children that he had never spoken publicly about. Yes, so that, you know, real family values kind of candidate. Then there was this. His son, during that campaign, denounced his father's candidacy, saying in a video on social media, quote, "We were told he was going to get ahead of his past and hold himself accountable, but none of that happened. Everything's been a lie." And he had to walk back a few lies that he told on the campaign trail as well. Remember this? Claimed to have graduated in the top 1% of his class at the University of Georgia. Remember that? But at the time, he hadn't even graduated. I mean, how does someone think that won't be figured out? Like, you either have a diploma or you don't. And even if you do, I don't think it's a good idea to claim that you graduated in the top 1% of your class. he also lied and claimed to have been a member of law enforcement. My goodness. All of this is just absolutely appalling. This man is not fit to be the dog catcher, let alone a United States ambassador to Bahamas. And just so that we understand, according to the State Department, the Bahamas are described as a country whose political stability is, quote, especially important to the United States due to our long shared maritime border. And it is especially important to address transnational criminal activity and irregular migration. You know, the thing that Donald Trump ran on. Yeah, he's going to put Herschel Walker into an ambassadorship with a country that has a critical relationship with the United States over our shared maritime border, transnational criminal activity, and irregular migration. Ah, perfect. And Donald Trump's announcement of Mr. Walker as the ambassador to the Bahamas, he noted that he was an NFL great and had competed on the 1992 U.S. bobsled team. Last time I checked, diplomatic service wasn't conditioned upon, you know, athletic prowess, but maybe I missed that somewhere. I don't know about you, but that one was an additional surprise in today's current events that dropped my jaw a wee bit. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. I am your lawyer on the radio, your economist, your buddy that helps you unpack the day's news. And of course, I would be remiss, and this show would not be complete, if we did not provide updates on two of the most widely reported events that continue to dominate headlines across the country. The first being that tragic and fatal school shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. We continue to learn more about that shooting. We have some sound from the last press conference about that shooting. Let's go ahead and take a bit of that sound now. First, here we are again. This is Chief Sean Barnes talking about whether or not they understand more about the motive for the shooting. Let's take a listen.
All patient status remain unchanged. The 911 calls are the record of the 911 communications center, and their standing operating procedure is not to release documents in open and active investigations. Again, we are working to authenticate the documents that you see online that some are referring to as a manifesto. And as soon as we do that, we will let you know.
So again, referring to documents circulating online, there have also been an incredible amount of rumors spread online. I do want to just take a moment here. One of the rumors being spread online was that the shooter, a 15-year-old female student at Abundant Life Christian School, was transgender. That is false. That is untrue. The other rumor that I saw circulating online, which is also unequivocally false, At least given the information that's out in the public right now that we're aware of, is that this was somehow a religiously based shooting, or that there was some antipathy towards Christians. There is absolutely no information that has been publicized, that is verified, that that is true at all. So very important that we not engage in these speculative exercises which help transmute and promote this misinformation. Here's some more about the document that has been circulating online. Let's take a listen.
We know a document has been widely shared on social media. At this time, we cannot verify its authenticity. We have detectives working today to determine where this document originated and who actually shared it online. At this time, we cannot verify the document. We ask that you not share the document or spread any information that may be false. Our department will provide an update on this document when we can.
So very important. And in response to a question about whether or not the shooter was bullied, let's take a listen. Again, this is Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Identifying a motive is our top priority. But at this time, it appears that the motive was a combination of factors. Again, we cannot share that information at this time because we do not want to jeopardize the investigation and those who are currently cooperating with us.
I can also share that court documents from July 2022 show that the shooter was enrolled in therapy and living primarily with her father. Her parents had married in 2011, 2 years after she was born. They had divorced in 2014. They shared joint custody of their daughter, and they remarried again in 2017 and again filed for divorce in 2020. So there has been some reporting about, you know, these family dynamics that were going on. Her father had frequently posted about his daughter, the shooter, on Facebook, including an August post showing the girl holding a firearm at the shooting range. In the comments that accompanied that photograph, her father indicated that this was his daughter and that they had both joined the North Bristol Sportsman Club earlier this year. Again, let's stay away from the misinformation. Let's wait for the police to engage and complete their investigation. So very important that we not spread misinformation. Here is some context of where this sits in the broader lens. Over 31,000 students between kindergarten and 12th grade have experienced a school shooting in this year alone, 31,000. That's according to a data analysis by the Washington Post. 13 people have been killed in school shootings in this country since the start of the year. 21 states have had school shootings in this year, in addition to the District of Columbia. And there have been 426 school shootings since the Columbine High Massacre of April 12th, 1999. I think we need to do something, don't you? My name's Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll give you the updates on the Luigi Mangione indictment that dropped yesterday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to go anywhere because we got some fun stuff planned for the bottom of the hour. We're going to be listening to some of our favorite holiday hits, but also some of the weirder ones and the most annoying holiday songs, at least by my ear. You're going to want to hang out and participate with us. The phone and text lines are open, 855-755-4842. But before we get there, I wanted to spend just a couple more minutes following up on the press conference that occurred live yesterday, held by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg on the Luigi Mangione indictment for the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO that happened a couple weeks ago. I wanted to revisit this because one of the things that stood out to me that I mentioned while we were on the air yesterday is that there was a first degree homicide charge that occurred because of a terrorism enhancement. So I wanted to explain to you all what's going on under New York law, because I don't think it's been particularly well broken down in most of the media. As many of you know, I am an attorney. I practiced law for many years in New York City, so I'm licensed to practice in the state of New York. And one of the things that not everybody understands about New York law is that intentional homicide in New York law, that gets you a second degree murder charge. Okay, that's the way it works in New York State. To garner a first degree homicide or murder charge in New York State, you have to have some specific statutorily defined enhancement or a particular, what I would call, aggravating set of facts to take the charge from a second degree murder charge to a first degree murder charge. Those things in the state of New York include, did the murderer include torture? Was it a murder for hire? Was it a killing of a police officer? Was it a killing of a critical witness in another proceeding? Those are all those aggravating facts that will take a murder charge from second degree to first degree in New York State. The other set of facts is that it was an act of terror designed to provoke fear, to intimidate, to influence the lay public, regular people on a particular issue of public policy importance. That is what garnered Mr. Mangione the first degree murder charge. Again, he was also charged with two counts of second degree murder. There's a variety of gun charges, and there was also at least one charge that related to his possession of false identity paperwork. So all of that is what's going on with Mr. Mangione's criminal charges. Again, the indictment coming down yesterday. Wanted to listen to a little bit of what District Attorney Bragg has had to say. Let's take this first explanation of the original charges. Again, this is District Attorney Alvin Bragg. District Attorney Alvin Bragg, this is the press conference yesterday discussing the original charges.
Here we go.
We are here to announce that Luigi Mangione, the defendant, is charged with one count of murder in the first degree and two counts of murder in the second degree, including one count of murder in the second degree as an act of terrorism. For the brazen, targeted, and premeditated shooting of Brian Thompson, who, as you know, was the CEO of United Healthcare. This case was made possible by the collaborative efforts of the phenomenal public servants you see before you today, and so many others who are not here.
I'd also like to take a listen to what District Attorney Bragg had to say about the fact that Mr. Mangione used a ghost gun. Let's take a listen to this sound again. This is yesterday's press conference from Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
Tell you a bit about the facts. On November 24th, we allege that the defendant arrived in New York City to murder Brian Thompson. After the defendant arrived in New York City on a bus at Port Authority, he checked into the hostel on the Upper West Side using the name Mark Rosario with a fake New Jersey ID. On the morning of December 4th, the defendant left the hostel, just after 5:30 a.m. and traveled to Midtown. For nearly an hour, we allege the defendant waited in the area near the Hilton Hotel, waiting for Mr. Thompson to appear. From 6:38 a.m. to 6:44 a.m., the defendant stood across from the entrance of the hotel on West 54th Street. When he saw Mr. Thompson, he crossed the street and approached him from behind. We allege he then took out a 9mm 3D printed ghost gun, equipped with a 3D printed suppressor, and shot him once in the back and once in the leg. The defendant then fled northeast on 54th Street and took an e-bike uptown before getting into a taxi that took him to West 178th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. On December 9th, the defendant was spotted at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. The local police were notified, he was arrested, and he was found with a 9mm handgun, a suppressor, two ammunition magazines, and the same fake New Jersey ID he used at the hostel.
Again, that was District Attorney Alvin Bragg yesterday discussing the charges against Luigi Mangione. Great question from Lama out of Madison. How do you get charged for two second degree murder charges when you only killed one person? Ah, yes, the vagaries and bizarreness of American jurisprudence. Often, one set or one act will result in multiple different charges, even charges that get after the same thing. In other words, a first-degree murder charge and two second-degree murder charges, because there are different specific elements of these different types of murder. So there are different types of second-degree murder, all of them intentional killings under New York state law, hence the two charges for second-degree and a first-degree murder charge. But when we come back, everybody, we're going to turn the page and we're going to have a little bit of holiday joviality. I know I need a little break from all this politics. So keep it locked. We'll discuss your favorite holiday tunes and some of the more annoying ones out there when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
In Wisconsin, we've got folks looking forward to either snow for a white Christmas. We've also got people crossing their fingers for a forecast that makes holiday travel easy. But if we train our eyes south, Brazil and Argentina want to see their good weather hold strong as they're in the height of their growing season. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing has our South American update.
And so far, the weather is very, very good in terms of there's no weather premium in that soybean market. Analysts continue to raise that crop total up now well into the low 170 million metric ton level. So we're just going to have a pile of beans getting put together here. Obviously, the next couple of weeks, a month or so, too, here will be very, very key because now it's the January-August time frame down there in Brazil as they start to fill that crop out.
Market advisor John Heinberg joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend with an update on what's going on with our grain competitors to the south. We'll take a look at our closing markets in just a moment.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
On the close Tuesday from Chicago, grain markets have pushed lower, but good news continues for Class 3 milk contracts. The January contract is up 19 cents at $20.49 a hundredweight, and the February contract is up 8 cents at $20.05. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which has followed suit. Barrel cheese closed up a nickel and a half at $1.78 and a half, and the 40-pound block cheese closed up 3 3/4 cents at $1.86. If we look at AA butter, that's up 2 cents from yesterday at $2.52 a pound. 2025 new crop corn closed down a penny and 3/4 at $4.38 and a half. 2025 new crop soybeans are down 10 cents at $9.88 and 3/4. And July new crop wheat is down 6 1/4 cents, closing at $5.61 and a quarter. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy, a bit breezy, and a few flurries flying around. Temperatures are slowly sliding from the teens to the single digits tonight. And as snow moves in early tomorrow morning, it'll be heavy at times, reducing visibility and creating slick and slippery roads, with accumulations around 3 to 6 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday, as Congress lurches from shutdown showdowns to long-range gridlock, we'll ask Joe Zepecki about Tammy Baldwin's recipe for rising above it.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back, everybody. Do you have a favorite holiday song? I want to know what it is. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you have a most annoying holiday song? I want to hear about it. 855-752-4842. It's time to have some fun. We are almost into the holiday break. And since we're talking about holiday music, let me tell you what we got planned for you all on Christmas Eve right here on Civic Media. There is going to be a special episode of the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve. I'm going to share with you some of my favorite holiday memories. Then we're going to have special pre-recorded interviews and segments that will get you on the holiday mood. The fun will continue rolling from 4 to 6 p.m., a holiday special episode of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. He's going to bring you all kinds of fun Christmas-themed content. And then at 6 p.m., starting on Christmas Eve, Civic Media will have all of your holiday musical needs covered. We're going to go all Christmas music for 24 hours and a little extra, starting again 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. So keep it locked across the Civic Media radio network for your holiday news, sports, and weather updates. And of course, Christmas music starting at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve all through Christmas Day. I know I'll be tuned in. I hope you will as well. But let's get down to the heaviest business of today, and that is some holiday tunes. We're going to start out with some of the annoying ones because I don't know about you all, but I think it's probably a pretty long list. We've got some of you weighing in already on the text and phone lines. Dennis from West Allis saying the most annoying Christmas song in all the world is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. Well, Dennis, we have you covered, friend. Let's all remember and remind everybody exactly what annoying Christmas song we're talking about. Here's a little flavor of this most annoying Merry Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas from Mariah Carey. Let's take a listen.
Don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.
Oh my gosh, turn it off, turn it off. I might not care about the presents under the Christmas tree, but I care if you turn that damn thing off. Yes, Dennis from West Allis, we will turn that off. The only version of that song that I find remotely palatable was that little kid that sang it in that that little Christmas movie. I think it was Love Actually, that film from like way back in the day. He's got a crush on this girl at school and he gets up on stage and he's all freaked out and like sings it in little kid falsetto. That's a version of that song I can tolerate. But every time I hear Mariah warming up her pipes for that one, whoa, got to change the channel. Steve from Milwaukee saying he cannot stand Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Steve, I hear you, man. It is one of the annoying ones as well. Folks, if you want to get in your two cents about your favorite Christmas tunes or the most annoying in the holiday rotation, Cardi and I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Roger from Stevens Point, listening on WFHR. What's up, Roger? Happy holidays to you. His most annoying Christmas song, Last Christmas by Wham. Well, Roger, we got you covered, my friend. We got a little of that coming right at you. Let's remind everybody what we're talking about here. This is Wham's Last Christmas. Roger, That one's for you, my friend. Listen, I'm a George Michael fan. I'm a child of the 80s. But yeah, that one is an earworm of earworms, isn't it, though? Woo-hoo. Roger calling out his favorite Christmas album, Christmas with Eddie Arnold from 1962. I haven't heard of that one, Roger, and I am going to go check it out. That's what this show and this last half hour is all about. Let's share some musical knowledge, some inside stuff. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We got Jack from Merrimack on the phone lines. Jack from Merrimack, you got a favorite holiday tune or a most annoying candidate?
Well, I got both, actually. The most annoying one, for me at least, is the Chipmunks Christmas song.
Jack, just hold on right there. We got you covered. Let's hit them Chipmunks, Cardi.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin.
Oh.
Alvin!
Okay! Christmas, Christmas time.
All right, enough, enough. Oh, my goodness. The Elvin gets me every time, Jack. I agree with you. Can't stand the Chipmunks. Do you have a favorite Christmas song, Jack?
Well, I'm no Bing Crosby, but I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. One of my all-time
favorites. With every Christmas card I write. Yes, Jack. Do you love the movie, too? Are you a white Christmas movie fan?
I like White Christmas, but I like the original, which was Holiday Inn also, even though it's politically incorrect in a lot of places.
It hasn't aged super well, but the overall theme, I think, is one worth remembering. Jack, we got you covered. We do have a little bit of the Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. He might have been kind of a jerk, but boy, his vocals are smooth as silk. Let's take a little listen to Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Now, I don't know, Cardi, if that's actually Bing Crosby singing that. That is a White Christmas version, but that is not the OG Bing Crosby. He's down a few octaves there. He had those smooth, low, dulcet tones. Who was that, Cardi?
He was enlisted in the Bing Crosby playlist, so it was on his playlist.
Well, that I will tell you this straight up, and this, my friends, these are the generational differences that we always love to enjoy. I know what Bing sounds like. That ain't no Bing Crosby, but I do love a little Bing Crosby singing the White Christmas. Let's see here. Llama from Madison chiming in with, he hates Let It Snow. It is a little bit annoying of a tune. He also hates the snow, and he sings it to annoy everyone around me. Well, I'm chuckling on that count. Llama from Madison as well. Angie from Monroe saying, Christmas Eve is her birthday. She'll be listening while she works. I hope whistling while you work as well to all of our Christmas music. From me to you, Angie, happy, happy birthday. And happy holidays to you. She loves her job. She's getting extra money working the holidays. I love it. She is a huge fan of all of the old cartoon movies on the U of the Tube. Yes, I enjoy some of those old ones, even though some of them, again, maybe haven't aged all that well. So I have to say, my number one, like, cannot tolerate this song. It is nails on a chalkboard bad to me, is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Why don't we take a little listen? Because I have to be tortured right along with all the rest of you. Just a little flavor of the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Okay, so let's just recap. Grandma drinks too much eggnog, gets run over by a reindeer, and then the song singer and Grandpa are saying, thanks Santa, because Grandma's dead. Oh, my Lord. And it's so annoying. Listen, it became a huge cult hit. It was first released independently in 1979, but I have the super deep background on Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Information that you all desperately need to know to be armed with trivia for your Christmas festivities. It was a cold and snowy night in November of 1978, and the members of Randy Brooks' country band, Young Country, found themselves stranded after a gig at the Hyatt Hotel on the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe. The brakes on their van were frozen, and with nowhere to go, Mr. Brooks and his bandmates went back inside to watch the next act, a bluegrass group fronted by the husband and wife duo of Elmo Shropshire and Patsy Trigg. Elmo and Patsy then invited Mr. Brooks, a 30-year-old aspiring songwriter from Dallas, on stage that night and asked him to play one of his favorite novelty tunes. He'd written Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer the year before after hearing a holiday song by Merle Haggard titled Grandma's Homemade Christmas Song that really annoyed Mr. Brooks. He said then, "I was tired of that country song where they set you up like a relative who gets killed in the third verse," recalled Mr. Brooks, though Mr. Haggard's lyrics only implied that the beloved grandmother was deceased. Mr. Brooks thought, "It's more honest to admit that grandma died up front." And whenever he played this song, the subversive ditty about a grandmother who gets drunk on eggnog, wanders out into the night, and gets killed by Santa's reindeer, the audience whooped and cheered. And so Mr. Shropshire and Miss Trigg, who just met Mr. Brooks that night, asked him to teach them that song that night backstage after the show. Folks, that is the birth origin story of what is Maggie Dawn's number one most annoying Christmas song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Elmo and Patsy then went on to independently release the song in 1979. In 1983, it became a number one hit on the Billboard Christmas Hit Singles chart, beating out Mr. Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Yes, Bing went down to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, as well as Bobby Helms's very famous Jingle Bell Rock. It matched that feat again, hitting number one on the Billboard Christmas Hit Single chart in 1984 and 1985. And y'all, it charted again in the Billboard Top 100 Christmas Songs in 2016. It took on a life of its own when a DJ out of San Francisco put it on rotation. It became a little bit of the shock jock playlist because of the fact that it's, you know, the singer and grandpa celebrating that grandma, in fact, did get run over by a reindeer. I hope you all feel a more deep and enriched sense of the artistry around Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer with all of this deep cut background on what is, again, my most annoying Christmas song of the season. We want to hear more from you, your favorites. We'll continue to dig into some of the weirdest Christmas songs out there, as well as your top hits when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're having a little fun this half hour. Join us, why don't you? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, dreaming of an orange Christmas. Tyler, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll read your text on the air. Anyways, Joshua from Wausau says his favorites are Bing Crosby and David Bowie. I love a little David Bowie singing Little Drummer Boy. What a great tune. Cindy from Wausau says one of her favorites is Barry Manilow singing Jingle Bells. We come back with some of your favorites and a couple of weird tunes you may not have ever heard of. I know I hadn't. Right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're sticking with us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're taking it easy this half hour, maybe a little annoying, little earworms for everybody out there. We're talking about some of our favorite holiday hits, as well as some of the more annoying and strange songs. There's lots of them. If you want to get in your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or a quarter's worth, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Text and phone lines are open from WNMDX. One of our listeners saying, John Denver's, please, Daddy, don't get drunk for Christmas. Is that one of your favorites or one of the more annoying ones? Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, I do now understand your joke, my friend. I'm not going to repeat it on the air, but thank you for making me laugh. Somebody texting in from WMDX on a 608 line, Tiny Tim's Santa Has Got the AIDS This Year. Yeah, that is one of the more weird ones. I mean, if Tiny Tim himself wasn't weird enough, he then cut that track. Let's see, Chuck from East Troy. His favorite is John Lennon's So This Is Christmas. So, Cardi, let's give Chuck from East Troy a little of his favorite Christmas song. Let's take a listen. A little bit of John Lennon's So This Is Christmas.
Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas.
I hope you have fun. Chuck from East Troy. Hope you have a wonderful holiday, my friend. Let's wrap that one up. Mike from Spring Green, you are on the air. You've got a weird Christmas song. What you got for us, Mike?
Well, one of the weirdest ones I ever heard was Santa Claus Is Coming to Town by a guy named Joseph Spence. And you have to hear it to believe it. It actually scared some of the younger kids in our family.
It is so weird. So weird. Now I know what I'm doing immediately after the show, and that is Googling John Spence. See, what was the song again, Mike?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and it's probably on YouTube, and it needs to be heard.
Okay, I will check it out. Do you have a favorite, Mike?
A favorite? Yeah, I like Oh Holy Night. I think that's a nice tune.
Mike. Yeah, that is beautiful. Drive safely, my friend. Sounds like you're in the car. And happy holidays to Mike in Spring Green, to you and yours. Let's see who else we've got on the text list. Corey from Watertown, you've got one of the weird ones that is also annoying. It's like a double word score. Dominic the Donkey. Cardi, we got it all queued up and ready to go just for you, Corey from Watertown. Let's take a listen to the truly weird and very annoying Dominic the Donkey.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la la la, la 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 la, la 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 la.
Oh dear, I cannot take any more. Corey, that one's for you, my friend. Bill from Green Bay. Says next, nice work on the black flag. A little shout out to Cardi for our in and outro music there. Corey from Watertown also singing one of the most annoying. He's saying Dominic the Donkey is more annoying than Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I don't know. They're both pretty gosh darn annoying, but I may have both of them beat. I may just have it. Because somebody decided to lay down an ultra repetitive electronic dance song called Electronic Santa Claus, and it is truly terrible. Take a listen.
The Electronic Santa. Electronic Santa's going to rock you, body. Rock you, body, body. Electronic Santa knows if you get nice or naughty.
I don't know about you all, but like, if we really needed to, like, some true psychological punishment, just lock somebody in a room with that thing on loop. Oh my goodness, it is so terrible. Bill from Green Bay saying we're going to resist and rise above in the new year. Bill, I couldn't agree with you more. Somebody from the 262 texting in on my Origin Station, the WAUK 540 AM, saying, hi, Maggie. My two favorite Christmas songs are I Believe in Father Christmas by Greg Lake and Joy to the World by No Doubt. Those are very fun as well. I love them too. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, the texter from the 262. Michael from Tosa. Hey, Maggie, have you heard Kip Adada's song, I Saw Daddy Kiss Santa Claus? No, but I'm looking it up after the show. Another texter from WMDX 608, favorite song, Santa Lost a Ho. Oh my goodness. Ho, ho, ho. I will be checking all these out after the show today. Linda from Middleton, favorite is Silent Night by Stevie Nicks. That is a killer rendition. Nat King Cole, hands down the best. Steve from Milwaukee, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Or Joy to the World. Yeah, Nat King Cole, so amazing. Scott from Shorewood found an obscure Christmas album years ago called Christmas on the Border. Love every song. Thank you so much. I can't believe we are out of time. Linda from Middleton shouting out Silent Night. I'm going to give you a tiny little flavor of my favorite. This is Harry Connick's When My Heart Finds Christmas, and I will say goodbye to all of you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together. Have a happy holiday. I'll be back in the chair tomorrow. Please tune in. You got the Dom Salvia show up next.
Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Salvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang will guest host, guiding us through how we can move forward with poetry.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Two top Trump advisors tell ABC News President-elect Trump is signaling to his top advisors and allies he's against the proposed bill to avert a government shutdown. The deadline is this Friday, and a vote is expected in the House today. The Federal Reserve issued a modest quarter-point interest rate cut today, stocks tanking on word from the Federal Reserve chair that the board will likely issue fewer rate cuts in 2025. Here's ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
The Fed's projections now looking toward closer to two interest rate cuts. The last time it gave those forecasts, it had thought it would do four. So what that's saying is that there is a little bit more uncertainty in the economy about what the path for borrowing costs looks like.
The Social Security Fairness Act clearing a key procedural hurdle today in the Senate, soaring past the 60 votes it needs to advance. That puts the legislation on an easy path to for a final passage. The timing on that vote, though, is still not known. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.